ID is
Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I am your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a fantastic, when I tell you fantastic show planned for you tonight, we've got a fantastic show planned for you tonight. This is a show that's backed by popular demand. We have a featured guest that's already logged in that will be joining us, and we certainly anticipate a number of people that will be tuning in tonight, not necessarily indicating that they will be speaking to us this evening, but certainly they will be. We're expecting a large audience of listeners. So we certainly hope that you will gain a lot of insight from tonight's topic. This is one that probably goes back to the time when men and women first got together, and it extends so far into the present time. So you will definitely want to not only listen to tonight's broadcast live, but you will also want to go even a step further. And that's the further being that you will probably want to go back and tell your friends to catch the archive shows, which in this case airs 20 minutes after the broadcast. Once again, after you listen to tonight's topic, the show will air. You can hear the full show in its entirety 20 minutes after the show concludes. So we have a featured guest. I'm going to, my co-host will, Joshua Jackson will be joining us momentarily. We will have our featured guest. I'm going to go ahead and bring her in at this time, and I'm going to let her go ahead and tell us a little bit about herself, Ms. Joanne Welch. Welcome to tonight's broadcast, Ms. Welch. Thank you so very much for being our featured guest for the evening.
Good evening, Dr. Jesse. I thank you so much for having me on your show tonight as a featured guest.
Okay, well,
as
great.
Said,
why don't you...
Go ahead. Go ahead, Dr. Jesse Walker.
Okay, well, why don't you tell our listening audience a little bit about, a little bit about yourself, what it is, what you do, how you do it, and what brings you to being our featured guest this evening?
Well, I'm a teacher for Dade County Public Schools, and I've been married twice. And I think that we have, with our topic tonight, that there's a big issue with men and women not getting along. And I think it's something that we really need to discuss and find out why men and women don't get along. I think we should, but at times we don't.
Okay. All right. And as Ms. Welch just said, tonight's topic is why can't men and women just simply get along? I mean, it sounds so easily said than done. Why can't we just get along? Why? I mean, what is the core? Why is that? I mean, the divorce rate is out here greater than 55%. It's almost like for every four people that get married, or two of them are going to end up in divorce, and that the three of the four will likely end up having extramarital affairs. And then the fourth couple, which would bring in the 100%, if they haven't thought about having an extracurricular affair, they certainly venture into their thinking pattern. I mean, it has to be, it's almost like today's time, the people who are trying to remain straight and faithful in their marriages on both sides, that seems to be in the minority. Ms. Welch, you know, I've heard you say that you've been married twice. And, I mean, what happens to people? I mean, it seems like the romance, and we're going to get into tonight's story shortly, but I'm just kind of like opening up tonight. What in the world goes on with people? I mean, everything was love and romance in the initial stages.
I think people, like you said, initially it was about love, but it seems like people tend not to put themselves, they put themselves first. They do not put, when I was having marriage counseling by Dr. McNeely, he said that you're supposed to put yourself, put the person first, I'm sorry. And if both couples, if you cherish the person more than you cherish yourself, and you're not selfish, and if both of you are doing that, then you will have a good relationship. But people don't do that anymore. People think about their needs and what they want, you know?
Right, absolutely. I mean, let's just revisit that just for a second. You say you had the therapy, the premarital counseling or your marital counseling, and the counselor or therapist mentioned to you that if you value or you put your significant other first before your needs, then perhaps your marriage stands a better or greater chance of survival. But let me ask you this question realistically, and we try to keep it real on this show. What's the likelihood of someone actually, in fact, putting someone else before them if it's not their children? I mean, honestly speaking, I can't possibly fathom a woman who, let's just say she marries with children into, she gets married already having children, or a man having children already and marry a woman, but the children are underage, meaning they're still at home. It's almost like an unspoken thing that woman or that man really is going first. So, I mean, if that's the case, even if there weren't any kids involved, how do you really put somebody before your own self?
Well, by nature, women are givers anyway. So most women in relationships, give more than a man gives. No offense to you, Dr. Walker.
No, of course. You know, none taken. You know, this show, we respect and honor everybody's opinions, even if we agree or disagree. We do it in such a, we try to most times do it in a very respectful way. But, you know, I would like to examine that before we go into tonight's story. How is it that, I mean, is that what you've often heard, that women are givers more so than men, and you've sort of adapted that? Could that be the case?
Well, speaking to other women and also doing research and also doing a lot of reading, I have found out that it's true that women are just givers by nature. Because, again, remember, women have kids, so they're nurturing to their children. So if they're in a relationship with someone, they're also going to be nurturing also.
Okay, but even if that be the case, what happens that the relationship still don't work out? And even with the women being the givers, is it that they're giving their all and the men are not giving their portion?
I think so, that a lot of times that women are giving their all and the man is not giving. So the woman kind of like get tired. You know, because if you're putting 90% into a relationship, you're doing all of the work, and could be vice versa, or a man, because you have men that are more nurturing than some women. So if the man is giving his all and the woman is not giving her all, then it causes a problem, you know, and after a while people get tired, especially if they don't have God in their life.
Okay. All right, but when you say that even the people, well, you know what, let's talk about that just for a moment before we go to tonight's story. Even the people, I mean, statistics indicate now that even your Christian marriages are even outnumbering marriages that are labeled to be non-Christian. So how is that? And God is supposedly in the picture, or is he?
Well, that's exactly the question, Dr. Walker. Is he? Because if you're converted and if both couples, say both of you all are Christians and you're truly walking the way that God wants you to walk, then you will pray together, you will communicate, and the divorce rate would not be so high in the Christian homes. So it could be one person that's not really converted, or it could be both of them.
Okay, all right. We're going to go to the phone lines just before we go to tonight's story. We're going to go to 954, looks like 206. Who do we have on the air this evening, and welcome?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us this evening. Rose, give me your thoughts. I mean, I'm hearing that women are nurturers by nature, and they give their all, and perhaps after a while, our featured guest, Ms. Welch, is saying that after a while, they perhaps get tired of that. And then she also said, for the male counterpart, that men, too, you know, depends on the circumstances, may be giving his all. And either way, both parties or one party finally gives up. What's your thinking towards any of this?
I have to say I totally agree with Ms. Welch. And I totally agree with the counseling that she received. And I totally believe that. If both parties are given 100%, then you would find that I believe the marriages will work even better. Now, if both parties put the other party first, then that's like a marriage made in heaven. But that's not what's happening. A lot of times, one party is giving all and the other party is only receiving. And like she said, after a while, that party who is giving all is going to become tired and worn out and then just going to give up, you know? It has to be a two-way street. I totally agree that women are natural nurturers. And so, you know, we just give. And I do agree with the fact that most time women will give their all to their husband, to their spouses, you know, and because they're just natural givers. And a woman most times will put her spouse, her husband, before herself, you know. And so you find that sometimes the spouse or the husband might take advantage of that. And that really breaks the marriage down, because after a while, the wife, who is totally always given, becomes tired, you know. So, yes, women are natural nurturers, and they do put their spouse along with their kids ahead of them. And I know you ask, how is it that the wife is actually going to put the husband ahead of her kids? But my thoughts on that is that that's two different type of love. You know, the wife is not going to love her husband the same way she loves her kids. It's two different types of love. And so a wife knows how to balance that, you know. And, yes, she is going to give her all to her husband, and there's the place also for the kids. I just feel like the husbands have to step it up. Of course, you have the exception. You have husbands who actually give more than the wife. But the norm is, in my opinion, from what I've read, from what I've seen, from what I when I speak to other females, it's normally the wife who is the caregiver. She is putting her all, and the husband kind of receiving on the more of the receiving end Then after a while, the wife just, you know, she becomes tired, if not sick.
That's an interesting perspective. And, you know, I can't argue with that. We're joined with my co-host, Mr. Joshua Jackson. We're going to bring him in and just introduce himself for our new for those of you all that may be just joining us. So, Joshua, why don't you go ahead and tell them who you are for our new audience tonight. And we'll also, while you're on the air, welcome our featured guest, Ms. Welch.
How you doing, Ms. Welch? This is Joshua Jackson, and hello, everybody who's listening. I currently go to Florida Memorial University. I'm a junior. I'm studying communications and public relations with a minor in broadcasting, and I'm currently the president of the Marketing Club at Florida Memorial University, and I'm the co-host of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, and I'm glad for everybody who's tuning in, and I'm thankful for our guest speaker, Ms. Welch, and I hope everybody enjoys the show.
All right. On that note, let's take a look at tonight's story. Tonight, if you're just joining us, the topic for tonight is why can't men and women just simply get along? And our featured guest this evening, we're so honored to have Ms. Joanne Welch. She's bringing a wealth of information to us, and I'm certain that all of us will gain something from her presence being on the air tonight. Our characters in tonight's story are Cynthia and Dell. When Cynthia and Dell first started dating nearly 3 years ago, they got along so well for the initial 4 months of their relationship. In fact, things went so well that Dell just knew that Cynthia was the only woman for him. You know, again, they dated for nearly 3 years ago, and they got along so well during those initial 4 months of the relationship that they decided that Dell was going to pop the question to her. Without hesitation, Cynthia responded in the affirmative of yes. She agreed to marry Dell. The fact that they only dated for 4 months made absolutely no difference to either of them because they felt people have known each other for years and married, yet ended up divorced anyway. This is a fact proven time and again. Well, the planning of the wedding was absolutely so exciting, especially for Cynthia, in terms of everything that had to be done. The stress of the planning, ultimately caused her to become a bridezilla. During this time, many of her friends began to see a side of Cynthia that they had never witnessed before. As a matter of fact, Dell saw a side of her that gave him reservations. Nevertheless, he would immediately dismiss his thoughts that she was just stressed. And this, too, this unknown behavior would eventually go away. Now the couple is into their third year of marriage, and things are completely out of control. They have a one-year-old daughter, yet they can't seem to stand each other. They can't even stand to see the sight of each other. Now, here are just a few of the challenges that they face in not getting along, and we've listed 10. There's extreme control issues on both sides. There's also arrogance on the side of Dell more so than Cynthia. Independence on both sides, acting, and not only acting, but they're expressing that they don't need each other, and they're doing that on a routine basis. There are countless threats of divorce coming from Dell. There's emotional unrest, often on the part of Cynthia. There's a lack of effective communication, a breakdown in dating at all anymore. No respect on either side. Numerous counseling has not helped this couple. Outside influence from family and friends on both sides that's causing negativity in their relationship. The question is, and I'm going to start this one out with my featured guest tonight. The question is there any hope anywhere for this couple? And what possibly went wrong after 4 months when everything seemed like it was picture perfect?
Well, Dr. Jesse, honestly, those 4 months are that's bliss. That's the love. That's the care. That's the emotion. That's basically everything you expect. That's your fairy tale, those first 4 months. But when you go to adding years and 2 years and 3 years, when you actually finally start peeling back the layers of getting to know somebody and getting through those walls that they built up due to their personality, you come to find out that the person has traits or abilities that they don't really tend to their partner. Because right now I had a problem like that where me and my significant other felt like to a certain extent we didn't need each other's opinion or value each other's views. So it's to the point of miscommunication. That it's a relationship. Communication is key. We can't stress it enough. And it comes down to more than just saying it. It needs to be written, honestly, because I feel like if you can't have anything written down to remember, honestly, like see it again and, oh, yeah, this caused all of this and X, Y, and Z, you're going to keep running into the same problem. And with their situation right now, I don't want to say they rushed anything because who am I to judge, but love is love. And they stayed together 3 whole years, and now they're running into the problem of I don't need you. You do everything on your own. Now they don't want to talk to each other. That love turned to hate, because when you love someone so much that it turns into a switch, love and hate. So I don't want to talk too long, but this is a sensitive subject for me, but you try so hard. But it just seems like your heart is not enough. Your best is not enough for them. So then it just becomes what is the next step? What am I going to do? What do you like anymore? But that's just my
opinion. That's an interesting perspective. Let's bring, before we go to the phone lines again, let's bring Ms. Welch in. Ms. Welch,
hi.
Is there any hope for this couple? Is there absolutely, any hope for this couple? And, I mean, was 4 months too short a period? I mean, as they said, it didn't matter to them initially. And as Joshua just said, that the romance and the love is the love.
Joshua, I'm going to say that I don't agree with you. When you say, like, you say the first 4 months is, like, the fantasy. Actually, I think within the first 3 months that you can tell if you want to be with someone or not, because during that time, they do display some of those traits. A lot of times we just try to ignore those traits, or we also feel that, once I, get them to marry me, it's going to change. But a lot of times it doesn't happen. This couple have a lot of issues, and I'm going to piggyback on what Josh said. It's absolutely correct. Without communication, any relationship is not going to work, whether it be with your kids, your boss, whoever it is. In a relationship, if you don't communicate, you have no relationship. Lack of communication. Okay? Like they always say, whatever you did to get that person, you need to continue to do that. In a relationship, the man or the woman, the man may romance the woman to get her, to get her heart. Once he gets her, he stopped romancing her. The woman, she may be dressing up, looking real pretty, sexy. Once she has the guy, she stopped dressing up. So as women, we need to continue to do that. We need to continue to groom ourselves. And whatever the guy did, he also needs to continue. Is there hope for this couple? I think there is hope for them. First, they need to put God first. So they've gone to counseling. Like I said in the beginning statement, are you really converted, and do you really want this relationship? If you really, like I always say, we work hard for whatever we want. We work really hard for it. But when it comes to relationships, sometimes we need to put our pride aside. We have a lot of pride, and we have a lot of arrogance. We need to put that aside, They need to pray together. They need to have worship together, And that little girl, she's the one, that child is suffering because that child feels whatever the parents are going through, So I do feel that it's hope for them, and they stop dating. They need to start dating again, Have a family member, watch the child, and date. Or what they need to do, a lot of men don't do, you come home, the wife works just like you. She comes home, she has to cook, she has to clean, she has to get the kids ready for school. And then when you want to be intimate with her, she's too tired. You understand? So if when you come home and you help her out, you help her out, then put the baby to bed early. And you guys can have a date in the house. You don't always have to go outside. That's my take on that. And one more thing. family and friends, keep them out of your business. Keep them out of your business.
That is a very interesting perspective. Ms. Welch, we're going to ask you to stand by. Joshua, let's go to the phone lines again, and then we're going to come back and revisit some of these issues, because I think Ms. Welch and we've all said a mouthful of this evening. We're going to bring Rose back in. We're going to go to phone lines, and anybody else out there that might want to chime in. I think it is important, but also while we're going to phone lines, I want you all to think about something, because I want to come back to this, and that is, how likely is it, seriously, for people to just, you know, cross that line? Once you, it's almost like when you cross that line of not liking that person in such a prolonged period of time, the love may still be there, but you don't like them anymore. I mean, you may love them because they're a human being, but I think it's so vital that you like someone that you're with. And when you've crossed that line to not liking them anymore, can that possibly be rekindled? We're going to come back and visit that just shortly. But let's first go to the phone lines. We're going to go to 205-908. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. You're on the air live.
This is Jack. This is Jack. I was hoping you called my number.
Jack, you seem like you didn't know who you were. Welcome, Jack. Thanks for joining us today. Jack, what are your thoughts out there? I mean, we got a topic tonight we're talking about. Why can't men and women simply get along? I mean, it goes back to the time when the origin of man and woman, they're just not getting along. What is going on, Jack?
Well, I like the story. I like the comments that have already been made. We got to be friends first before anything could happen, and we got to allow the courtship to continue. But listen now. The story that you read was sounding like maybe 95% of America. I don't know of any perfect marriages and all, but that story that you were bringing out, how communicate, how, you know, they're at odds, it sounds like they're sleeping in separate beds. And to me, it sounds like, I think his name is Daryl. Derek. I think he's having an affair. Daryl is having an affair. He's having an affair based on what I got out of the story and all. And she's kind of proud, and she doesn't want to take it any further because she doesn't need him anymore and he doesn't need her. But it sounds like about 95% of America, but I think we have to rekindle those old flames that we've had. And I think a couple of your callers, a couple of your guests that you had on there, I think they kind of talked about it a little bit, that they do need to rekindle that old flame. And I do believe that there is hope. I mean, there's hope if you want hope. I mean, if you want it, you can rekindle that relationship. You can start all over again, and you can put what's on the back burner, you can put that behind you and say, we're going to start afresh. What did we do to come to these terms? I mean, something must have happened. I mean, why did it die out? And I like what you just said a few minutes ago about they love each other because, you know, that's the spiritual connection, that you love each other. But now do you like each other? And I don't think they like each other because they see all the negatives. But if they were to sit down and take a look at it and write out 10 things, what they lack about the spouse, they will find some very positive things, and that's what attracted them to each other from the very beginning. But now they're looking at all the negatives, and that's how America is. That's how society is developing now. People, everything is turning to a negative sense, and everybody's looking at things from a negative perspective. But I think we got to eliminate the negative and accentuate positive things. And you can see some positive things if you look at your spouse hard enough. And you can look at, you can find some negative things if you think about some of the things that have happened in the past and that type of thing. And I think that's what they're living on. They're dwelling in the past rather than trying to accentuate the positive and looking forward to the future.
Jack, I think that that's a very interesting perspective. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to bring Rose back in just before we go to Joshua, and then back to our featured guest for this evening as well. And now we're going to start. Rose, give us your thought on what's been said. In addition to that, we'll start with you by asking that question too. I mean, can you really, I mean, this will be an upcoming show, of course, but can you really, I mean, after that line is crossed that you've gone numerous weeks and days and months of not liking that person, can you really rekindle that? Good luck.
I think it'll be very difficult, but I think it's possible. And I believe the first thing you might need to do to rekindle that likeness is to be totally honest with each other. Something happened to destroy that likeness. Something had to have happened. Now, if you both were to sit down and talk about it, be honest with yourself. What is it that I do not like about you? What is it that you do not like about me? Maybe document that so you can have that to look back on. And then when you finally decide or come up with the reason why you don't like each other, try to work on that. See, what can we do to get back this likeness? Because obviously the likeness was there before you got married. When you were dating, that likeness was there. When you realize what it is that you don't like, what is he doing that gets on your nerve? What is she doing that gets on your nerve? Find that out. And I think that would be the beginning of liking the person again. Because once you realize what it is and then you start working on that, you'll be surprised. Also, get back to dating, as someone said, I think it's Ms. Welch. Get back to dating. When you find out what it is that you guys don't like about each other and you decide to change it, dating, spending some time with each other, you know, getting a babysitter, going out, you know, having a date at home at times, putting the kids to bed early so that you can spend time together. There are just a lot of things that you could do. But, of course, it takes more than just love, okay? To me, it also takes commitment. Because today I might love you, but tomorrow I'm not feeling you. You did something that bothered me, and I don't feel that love for you at this particular time. But if I have that commitment and I'm committed to you, you know, when the love seems like today it's not there, the commitment is still there, and you know that it does not matter. You are committed to this person. So I think you have to also remember that. And, of course, without God in the picture, you know, things are going to fail. So you have to find time to put God right in the midst of your relationship, praying together, as Ms. Welch said, and worshiping together. And you would find that, you know, when you worship with each other, it's going to be really hard to turn around and dislike each other, you know. So I believe that there is hope for this couple, but they have to maybe start from scratch again, figuring out what they can do to bring this likeness back.
That's, you know, Rose, you've hit a number of subjects that we have some upcoming shows on that I think are worth mentioning. We're going to bring Joshua in just a second, and we want to respond to some of the things that Jack mentioned, as well as Ms. Welch. You know, and I want to also present to them is even about the likelihood of, you know, how realistic is that when you don't like somebody? And let's just assume for a second, Rose, let me stay with you just for a second, if I may, before we start taking some of the comments that have come in. Why can't men and women simply get along? Let me ask you this question here. You know, once you cross that line, when somebody has crossed that line, let's assume that Jack has it right. The story didn't indicate, but let's just say based on, you know, the indicators that were mentioned, some of the challenges that Dell and Cynthia are having, let's just say that Dell is having an affair. Once he starts that affair, what's the likelihood, I mean, in your opinion, that he's really going to like Cynthia again? I mean, really?
Okay, well, I mean, I suppose there are some exceptions. I was not thinking along the line that there's a third party involved. Now, if there are no third party involved, then I believe it's a better chance of them, you know, becoming friends again. But if there's a third party involved, if someone is having an affair, then that makes it very difficult because until that person who is having the affair gets tired of that affair, he or she is not going to really like their mate. When someone starts having an affair, they find everything wrong with their spouse. Things that they used to like about their spouse once, now it becomes a problem. They find everything that is wrong with their spouse. They're seeing everything good with the person that they're having this affair with. So once you're the third party, it now makes it difficult. And I would say if they're the third party, then Cynthia needs to go ahead and file for a divorce. That's how I see it, because it becomes very difficult. It makes no sense for her to sit around and wait for this affair to be over, you know, because it might not be. And when it is over, she might not want him anymore. So why waste her years waiting?
All right. We're going to bring Joshua back in and get his perspective. Joshua, I mean, a lot has been said, and I hope that you've written some things down or you have this super memory, it seems, anyway. Give us your thoughts on where you are, Joshua.
Well, Ms. Rose, the first comment before the affair, you hit everything on the nail, back down to the preaching and the fellowship together as a couple. And it stems into the third party, because when you actually listen to the story, and I didn't want to go into too many details with me just getting on the air, it does sound like it's someone else in the spouse's relationship. Actually, for Mr. Daryl, it sounds like he is interested in someone else. But when the third party comes in, there is that window of them seeing what their spouse does for them and what the world does not have to offer to him anymore. And he's like, man, why am I here messing up and my wife loves me at home? There's still it's that little window that, oh, man, why am I messing up? And then now, okay, he's back trying to fix it. Now that's been in, that's why Ms. Rose said, she may not want him anymore. And then that's when the problems are going to, even everything is going to escalate, because she no longer wants him. She waited for you hand and foot. You thought the grass was green on the other side. Now what? What are we going to do? We're back to that. We're back to the basics. We're back to communicating. We didn't communicate, so I tried to find something better. I didn't find anything better, so I hated you. I spaced myself away from you, and now I'm back. And now I want to fix it because I couldn't find anything better. So what are we going to do? So this is when we have to honestly write, like I said, write it down. Write our goals down in a relationship, because when you're in a relationship, you're a partnership. As if you were in a work, like our featured guest Ms. Welch said, just like if it was your boss, your kids, or anybody else, you have to communicate and you have to list what you want out of the relationship. Yes, when we think about relationships, we think, oh, love, marriage, family, kids, living together. But honestly, we don't think about the grit and the grind behind a relationship. How are we going to get this house? How are we going to work? What are you going to do when I get pregnant? It's so many things that we don't actually think about. So that's why I go back to the 4 months may have been a little too short. Yeah, it was blissful. We were dating. We were casually dating. And I thought I loved you, but now I didn't put out my objectives. What did I want from you? What type of person I am? What do I want in the next 5 to 6 years? You know what I'm saying? It's those little factors that we don't tell people that ends up breaking up the whole relationship in the beginning, honestly.
All right. Let's hold that thought just for a second. Ms. Wells, let's bring you back in. Then we're going to go back to Jack on the likelihood, because Rose said some things also on the likelihood of, you know, going beyond that. When that like, you know, when you like someone or you dislike them, you still love them, but you dislike them. And it's been so prolonged until how do you get that back? I mean, even when you can, you know, romance, you started trying to rekindle it. And I tend to think that even if there's not a third party involved, even when there's not a third party involved, I just think that it, and like Rose said, it doesn't mean it's impossible, but that even puts strain and stress on the individual who's trying, and I mean, to really be accepting of that other person trying to rekindle this. When you've crossed that line and they just don't like you anymore, and you all know as well as I do, that person can start to try to date you, romance you, it can happen on either end. But there's something that's just crossed your spirit so badly that you just say, you know what, I can't do this anymore. And they're trying so hard. And I get it. They're trying so hard. So, Ms. Welch, what happens there?
Well, everybody gave some real great valid points. But I personally feel with God, all things are possible. And It doesn't matter how bad the situation may seem. Both parties have to want it. Again, if one is putting all the effort in and the other one is not putting it in, it's not going to work. Okay, that's like beating a dead horse. So you can, if both of you have issues with dislike, and I agree with what Ms. Rose said earlier, jot down, write down, what do you like about that person, what you don't like about the person, what got you to the point where you dislike that person so much, what did they do? And people have to accept honesty. A lot of people, they're not honest. And sometimes people are not honest in a relationship because if you really express to that person something that they're doing that you don't like, some people take it, you know, to heart, you know, and that also causes more friction and more problems because you're honest with them. But to me, honesty is the best policy. You understand? You want somebody to know. You should want someone to know how they feel about you or how you feel about them. So, again, they need both of them. If they want it, they need to put their pride to the side, you know, and don't worry about, you know, the other person rejecting them. Sit down, have a heart-to-heart talk. Where is this relationship going? Can we fix it? Can we mend it? Okay? If they can, then they need to take baby steps, and they try. Do counseling again, because I heard you say that they went to counseling numerous times. Do counseling,
yes.
But put God first, because with God, all things are possible.
Right. All right. Let's find out. Even though the statistics show that the churches now that once may have put God first, or did they, are now ended up also in divorce. Let's go to Jack and bring in Jack. I know it's been a while, and we appreciate you, your patience. Tell us, Jack.
No,
I mean, is honesty really the best policy? And when somebody has just fallen out of liking you, they may still love you. I mean, is that really that easy to overcome? I've heard Ms. Welch say, you know, we put God first, but the people who seemingly at one point we thought put God first, then we bring back ourselves into the picture and we just say, well, you know what, God, I can't do this. What happens, Jack?
Well, I want to say that, first of all, I believe in the Rodney King's or the talk or the thing that he had, can we all just get along? And you're going to find out that that's virtually impossible today. And see, we're going to blame others. But see, I'm blaming the wicked one and what he's done and what he's doing. He realizes his time is short, so he's trying his best to take as many people to hell with him, because the more people he gets to burn, the less time he would have to burn. So the world is teetering. There's so much going on in the world. There's so much confusion, chaos, and that's what's causing it all. We can talk about marriage. We can talk about crime. We can talk about Trump. We can talk about all that. But it's not these people. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and high places and all that. So we know that. So as far as a relationship and a marriage and all, even if they have an affair or whatever, I mean, can you forgive? Can you eventually forgive? Something caused the marriage to go awry, okay? You can't just put the blame on him, or you can't put the blame on her. Both of you are at fault because both of you thought you could do without each other and you were doing your own thing. So now, what can we do to piece this together again? What can we do? Yes, we tried counseling. That didn't work. So that means you gave it this effort and all. But someone went outside of the relationship and they fractured the marriage vows. But that's okay. God has forgiven us time and time again. So why can't we forgive each other? But if they can start to rekindle that relationship, putting romance back in it, I think the sky could be in the limit, because it could be the limit. Mainly because they know that they've messed up. Both parties have messed up. Whether one caused him to go out or what caused her to go out. Okay, something had to happen to cause them to do that or not. So if they could come together, they can iron out their differences and just move forward. Yeah, okay, write out. I said that earlier. Write out the positive things that you saw about the person. You had to have those things in the back of your mind from the beginning. So now write them out. Write 10 things that you love about that person. Don't write anything negative. Write all the positive things that you love about that person. You're being honest. You think you're going to be honest. If you only have three, write those things down. But it's something good that you saw in that person that attracted you to that person. And let's do the Rodney King syndrome. Let's all just try to get along because it's very difficult in the world that we're living in. And I don't want to talk too long because I know you have other guests.
All right. Well, Jack, that's an interesting perspective. And let's bring Joshua, we're going to bring you in, back in, and ask that question. I mean, you know, we've got some, just let me give a commercial break here, just pause for a moment. We've got some upcoming shows, and one of those will be, should your commitment be stronger than your love for your spouse? Should your commitment, that word commitment, I've heard it mentioned on the air tonight, should your commitment be stronger than your love for your spouse? Another topic we've got coming up, when you have not liked your spouse for a while, can a relationship really be rekindled? And then also we have a future show coming up. Is honesty really the best policy? Is honesty really the best policy? I mean, so you don't want to miss those. You want to stay tuned in for those upcoming shows. Let's go back. Let's go to Joshua now. Jack has mentioned Rodney King so much. I almost wanted to call him Rodney. But can we all, Joshua, can we all just get along? I mean, is it as easy as that?
Honestly, everybody getting along is easier said than done because we are human. Everybody has their own opinions and their own views, which makes us human, honestly, because if all of us had the same opinions and views, all of us would be robots, honestly. I don't know what the world would be like if all of us thought the same. So the fact that we do think different causes controversy. Now, I don't know if it could – it sometimes it's a good thing because we enlighten each other with our areas of knowledge. For example, someone who is homeless can tell me how to survive on the streets without any money compared to me, somebody who's been – striving, trying to go to college and things like that, find a good job, I wouldn't know how to survive if everything was just taken from me and I'm just stranded in the world by myself, nobody's looking out for me or nothing. I probably wouldn't know what to do. I don't know. So everybody has different skills and different backgrounds and different opportunities, honestly. So for me to say that everybody could get along, that'll be impossible. It really would.
All right, we've got to take some of these comments that are coming into the studio this evening. Let me first go to Ms. Welch and see if there was something she wanted to add quickly because we're about 14 minutes before we bring the show to a close. Ms. Welch, just come on in here. Is there anything you wanted to say quickly before we jump to the comments?
No, Dr. Walker, I think everything was said.
All right, let's go right to the comments then on that note. We're going to begin with tonight's topic, of course, why can't men and women simply just get along? And Ms. Welch will give you the first one. This male writes in, and he says, this is a very powerful one. He says, I personally think that women are too bossy. And he has that with so many letters. He said, this is what he's saying. He said, I think that women are too bossy and always want to be in charge. He says,
true.
You know, I got to give you, I apologize, but he says they're too bossy and always.
True.
He says and always want to be in charge. always want to be in charge. Even when it comes to their relationships, he says. I'm so sorry, y'all. He says, I've seen them treat their husbands like children. in some cases. I mean, Ms. Welch.
Yes.
Let me do
this. Dr. Walker.
I apologize, y'all. Ms. Welch, let me go to you. I mean, is there any truth, Ms. Welch? Is there any truth to this, Ms. Welch?
Is there any truth to women being bossy? No, women are not bossy. Women, again, like she said, women like to take charge.
Okay.
That's true. Okay. That's true. Women like to take charge, but even in a relationship, I think we all have our gifts, right?
Right.
So
If the man has a gift in one area and the woman has a gift in the other area, and if the woman has more gifts than the man and she is taking the lead, what's wrong with that?
All right. That's an interesting subject. We're going to try to take at least 5 of the comments tonight, you all. But, Jack, let me bring you in just for a second. Jack, do you, as a male perspective, and I know, you know, we respect all opinions on the air, whether we agree or disagree, do you find that there could be some validity to what this man is saying? I mean, you know, he said they want to be too bossy and always.
Oh, I almost said 100%, but I'm not going to
say
100%.
What do you think, Jack?
I almost said 100%. That's 100% correct, but I'm not going to say 100%. For the most part, women are somewhat bossy. They may not look at it as being bossy. They look at it as having more gifts in that area and all, but sometimes you have to be subservient. You have to be subservient to the male because the Bible points it out what the role of the man is and the role of the woman and all. Now, if he gives that role to her, say, now, you go ahead and you handle the financial affairs and all. That's on you. Mm-hmm. But unless he does that on his own, then she's not to take that role. He has a role to play. He's supposed to be the priest of the home. He's there to basically be the overseer of everything that goes on within the home. But now, if they sit down and they talk about it, then that's different. But if she's to take that role on her own, then she's outstepped her boundaries.
All right, well, let me ask you this question. Jack, you said something very interesting, and we're going to bring both in. You said something very interesting.
Yes.
You said that he's the overseer of everything, and unless he gives her that role, Ms. Welch, how do you feel about that? Rose, we're going to bring you in and ask you, what are your thoughts on that? You know,
okay,
just briefly, Ms. Welch,
Briefly, Jack, I totally agree. Biblically speaking, that's what God said. The man is supposed to be the priest in the home. But let me ask you a question. If
sure,
a man is not being that priest and he's not leading that woman, and I'm going to say to Christ, what is she supposed to do, sit back and do nothing?
That's why I said almost 100%, and you're absolutely right with what you're saying. If he's not acting out his role, then she is to take the lead role. But if a guy is there to take the lead role, allow him to be the man. Allow him to do his part and play his role.
I totally agree. But if he's not, then she should step up. Right, Jack?
I agree with you 100%. 100%.
All right, let's bring Rose in. Rose, give us your take on it. I mean, you know, what's going on here?
Well, my opinion is this, that a lot of men, they're kind of too lax, and they really don't step up to the plate and do what they ought to do. Therefore, women are forced to take the lead because we just can't sit back and relax like you men, okay? We got to go out and we got to work. We got to come home. We got to take care of the house. But then you come home and you watch TV and read the newspaper and you expect things to be done. So you find that women are forced to take the lead and do what needs to be done. You know, men just don't want to. So therefore, yes, women might seem like they are bossy, and they might seem like they're taking control, but it's because they have to, because if they don't, then everything will kind of fall apart, you know? He will, I don't know. You know, so it's something that is just thrust upon us, not because we want to. We would love the man to take charge, so to speak, and play the role that God gave him. But when he doesn't, if we both just leave it up, then what's going to happen? That's my take on it.
All right, very good. Josh, we're going to bring you in. Josh, we're going to give you this other comment. We got to move faster, you all, because they're threatening me here now. And this other comment is, this one is worse than the first one. He says, maybe we'll come back to that one. He says, oh, my goodness. We'll escape that one. Josh, here's a mail. He writes in. He says, could it be that women feel that they are nurturers, as Ms. Welch said on the air tonight, and always have to be in control, in control of everything? In... What is wrong with these comments tonight? And women are nurturers and always have to be in control of everything, including the man. Well, I don't think so. He says, I don't think so. I think men and women should have a greater respect for each other and try at best to get along. Joshua, what's your take on that?
Once you do get in a relationship, Dr. Walker, it is kind of a power shift, I would say, because when you're single, you get to do what you want, when you want, how you want it. So once you're now in a relationship with an equal or someone a bit more aggressive towards the leadership role than you are, then one of you has to submit. Okay, and then say if the man is not the aggressor or the leader, that is when that's why you have a wife. Your wife is your partner in crime. She has your back. When you fall down, she lifts your head and tells you, okay, man, you got to get up. You got to do this. We relying on you. So that's when she's your backbone. But if we're in a situation where your man is not the leader, then that's when you have to look at who are you dealing with, what kind of person you are. It's not to say that every man is not a good leader in the home. It's just maybe he's not a good leader for you. You know what I'm saying? You are, like you said, surpassed him. We have said that on the show as well, that you have to figure out if the person is honestly has better attributes than you in the leadership role compared to what you want to do. You want to be the leader but don't know how to. Where are you going to lead us to? Nowhere, because you're all talk but no actions behind it. So that's when women kind of get the feeling of, okay, I need to do this, because if I don't do it, he's just going to put it off and it'll never happen.
Okay, here's a good point. Jack, we're going to bring this one in. This one came in with some hot signs on it, so we're going to take that one. This woman says, this female says, I think men have too many fears, which causes women to have to step up, like Rose said, and fulfill the task at hand. Because men are so physical, as she said, this perhaps causes some men to feel like the woman is trying to rule him. That's not always the case, in my opinion, she says. Jack, what do you think about that? I mean, is she pretty much, I mean, she seems like she's representing what Rose said again over the airwaves.
Yeah, well, we have to take on our role and our responsibility as men. We should know exactly what to do. I mean, no one comes with the book on marriage. You know, you sometimes it's a trial and error situation and all, but you should know that you're the man and that you're supposed to basically be, I don't want to say so much being in charge, because you're working together. And see, I've said this time and time again, both parties have to give it 100%. You're not giving 50 and I'm giving 50. We both are giving 100%. Because usually when you say I'm going to give 50, they don't usually do that. They may give 10, the other one may give 10, and you're not going anywhere. But both parties have to give it their all. And if the husband is not stepping up to the plate, if he's not stepping up to the plate, that will cause the woman to step up to the plate. But he should know his role. She should know her role as well. They both should know their role. And they have to sit down. We said earlier about communication. That's the key in any relationship. So let's talk about it. Okay, now this is my role. This is your role. This is what you're going to do. And if I do fall short, you are there to lift me up. If you fall short, I'm there to lift you up. So everybody should know what their role is, and they should try to move forward in that direction.
All right. We're going to take two more comments, and we've only got about 75 seconds. And we're going to give both of these to our featured guest, Ms. Welch, this evening. Ms. Welch, if you'll just be brief on both of these. First one is this female. They're from both females. One says, I can't speak for other women, but I can tell you this. I refuse to let any man try and control me. Men tend to think that women are simply a piece of property to be handled any kind of way. These are modern times now, so get with it. What do you say to that, Ms. Welch? She sounds like she's angry.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
But listening to the callers that we have on, it's not about controlling. I believe in compromising. And if you love that person, that you will compromise. And like Joshua said, one may have more attributes than the other. It's all about compromising, like I said before. This person may be good in this area. That person may be good in that area. It's not about control. It's about teamwork, working together.
All right. And then the last comment, female, and we've got to get off the air. This female says, I just don't think we understand why we can't get along, men and women. I just don't think we understand each other. We have not taken time to learn how to effectively communicate with our significant other. And she puts that word in. I know, Ms. Welch, you mentioned communication, and I think that's one of the top three reasons why people end up divorcing. is because they don't not only just have communication, but effective communication. Tell us what's the difference, and as you speak to this issue, the difference between communication and effective communication, please.
Communication, effective communication. I think effective communication is when you're sitting down in front of each other, you're giving each other eye contact, because sometimes you could be speaking to someone and they're not listening to you. They don't have your undivided attention. So effective communication is both of each other have your undivided attention. And
all right,
you're communicating back and forth.
All right. Just on a quick note, Jack, in 10 seconds or less, just your view, how can men and women start to get along? Just 10 seconds, one thought. What would that be?
Well, I think that they can't do it on their own, and we talked about it earlier. They really have to get down on their knees and pray together and start saying some positive things about each other, writing it all down and sharing that with each other.
All right, beautiful. Ms. Welch, and then Josh, we're going to give you the last word. Ms. Welch, give us 10 seconds or less. What can make men and women start to get along?
Can you repeat that?
What can make men and women start to now get along?
Communication and forgiveness and respect.
All right. I like that. All right. Josh, we're giving you the final word. Just in a nutshell, what can cause men and women to now start to get along?
If you're going to forgive your spouse for anything, forgive them and move forward. Don't forgive them and bring it back up every next week, next day, every time an incident occurs.
Amen.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of my listeners. Those comments that we weren't able to get to, I want to thank our featured guest this evening, Ms. Joanne Welch. As always, my co-host, Joshua Jackson. Rose and Jack, thank you all for participating with us tonight. Those of you all that we weren't able to get to, we do apologize. Keep listening. Get in early enough so that you can press one on that dial, and we'll be able to get to you all. Thank all of you all for sending in your comments. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass Friday, join us back here again live next Tuesday when we have another featured guest for you that you will not want to miss that show either. Once again, thank our featured guest, Ms. Joanne Welch, and join us again back here live Friday or next Tuesday. Until one of those days, I say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.
All right.
All right, just a